Holding in Maseches Demai, the sixth parak, parak Vav, fifth Mishnah, Mishnah Hey. Okay, so we'll take it slow, one step at a time. So now, the parak's been talking about when you have a shared work, sharecropper, let's say, or a tenant farmer, how you divide up, not the produce, but divide up the hafrashos, you know, the schus to give the meiser and the sheni, meiser and the truman. So, Mishnah presents a different case, really a continuation of the previous. A makabel zesim l'shemen. If you've been makabel as a worker to be an aris, like a sharecropper, to get the oil out of the olive trees. So, ostensibly the difference here is, for starters, unlike the previous case, you're not taking over the land and working it and growing it and fertilizing it and pruning it and the whole... You're not part of the land. You've been hired to do a simple job, which is basically to pick the fruit off the trees and process them. It's a different kind of job, but again, the deal will be the same, that you're going to get, you know, a fixed percentage of the produce. Kashem shecholken b'chulin, the same way that you are a mechalek, you divide up the chulin, meaning... If it's a 50-50 split, same, you give 50 to the owner and 50 get to keep. Kach cholken b'truma. So too, you get to, the worker gets to keep his percentage of the truma to give away. This is even the case if the worker is a Jew and the owner is a Yisrael. If you look at the previous Mishnah Dalet from yesterday, it started up. A Kohen. I'm sorry. Yeah, if the Balabais is a Kohen or a Kohen, let's say, or a Levi, and the worker is a Yisrael, so even in that case, the Yisrael gets to keep his share of the Truma. This is difficult because if you look at Mishnah Dal, you'll see it says Yisrael shekibul makohen miYisrael. If a Jew was working for Kohen Yisrael, a Kohen or a Levi, I'm sorry. So Maestros the Balaam. We said in that case the Maestros go back to the Balaam. In other words, the, we don't assume that the Kohen is going to contract one and lose his Truma. Or a Levi would contract one and lose his Maestro, because that's too valuable to him. But here we're saying that like the opposite. That for whatever reason we're saying that the Yisrael wouldn't agree to work the Kohen's Zesim, olive trees, unless he got his fair share of the Truma. Okay? Now, most people are learning that, most Mepharshim are learning that this is not talking about the olives only. The Pasha seems to be that most are learning that it's true for any fruit that you're taking on to harvest. That's a different kind of work for whatever reason, and therefore the rules of the game are different. And that would be true if you were hired, I don't know, to harvest apple trees and make apple juice. It doesn't matter. The point is not specific to olives. What the exact difference would be in such a case? It's very difficult. I warned you, they're difficult and giant. What's the difference? So, like the Mishnah Mepharshim say, sure.
There was a bit of advice.
Sure. So, I'm saying that what the difference is between this Mishnah and the previous Mishnah, if it's applying to all fruit, is tough to say. Even the Yerushalmi itself basically just says, well, Zesim are different. The exact Lashon is the Rav brings it down. Rabban lo avdi Zesim kakarka. The rabbis didn't make the olive trees like the land. Okay, so we're a bit in the dark, exactly, what the difference is. The Rambam has a much more straightforward explanation, although he, of course, is the Rambam, he's always on his own. The Rambam in the Perish Mishnah says this is Dafka talking about Zesim, olives, and his explanation is that olive oil is very valuable, so people, it's worth more to people, and therefore they want to keep it, and therefore they're not prepared to part. The Yisrael isn't prepared to part with his truma, he wants to give it to his Kohanim friends. As you can imagine, that's sort of, if you think about it long enough, that's all sort of fraught with a lot of, that doesn't make so much sense. I mean, it's just the amount of dollars, right? More valuable. But
you said the case is either Yisrael and the Yisrael, or
even a Yisrael is working for a Kohen, even then the Yisrael gets to keep his pro rata portion of the truma. Yeah. What the difference is like a bit of a question mark. I mean, the cases are different. One is working the field, and one is picking the fruits, and perhaps processing the fruits. But okay, so it's
so he gets his whole share because he takes truma from his share.
He'll, you know, if it's 50-50, he'll get 50, the Yisrael will get to keep 50% of the truma to give to the Kohen of his choosing.
But doesn't he get it as a whole from which he has to take truma? In other words, he doesn't get a plus truma.
No. They'll just divide it 50-50. You know, they draw a line. And
he takes his truma from it. So they can't take his share of the truma.
That's right.
Would you say it applies to grapes?
Well, that's the machlokas. Most Mefarshim say, yeah, it would apply to any fruit. Okay?
Grapes are similar to us.
Yeah, well, most Mefarshim would say any fruit. Most Mefarshim seem to say any fruit. It's hard to understand. It's hard. But that's a most say. It's all okay. It's hard. Okay, listen. The next mission is also hard. I warned you. Sorry, it's hard. Okay, but anyway, let's just. Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, 1 second. So now, sorry. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Back in hey. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Yisrael Shekibel Makoen Malevi. If a Yisrael accepts upon himself to work the olive fields and olives for Kohen for Levi, Zeisim LaShemen, and to work the olive trees for the oil. Many or most yourselves have the word O here, the Rav included here. O lemachzis schar, or to divide up like 50% of the schar. Schar means like the sale price. Meaning he's not just, if it's an or there, it's either to produce oil from the olives, or it's to actually go and sell the olives or the olive oil in the market and then divide up the produce. So in other words, he wants this second part is he's getting the workers providing a turnkey solution to the owner. He's saying, I'm not just going to provide you with your olives, your olive oil, I'm going to go sell it for you and just, you know, give you a pile of cash even to the end. So even then, where like you see he's going working very hard, Hamaisras the Bailam, Rabbi Yehuda says, like we saw in Mishnah Dalid, the Hafrashas go to the owners. The Kohen and the Levi gets his share because he wouldn't give it up. And the halacha isn't like Rav Yehuda. So we could have hid behind and say, well, the halacha isn't like this weird shop, but the halacha is that this case is different than that case. Halacha lemais is very difficult. I don't have to worry about that, but I'm saying it's very difficult. Because like, once you don't have a svara why things are different, so then applying them to, you know, you need. In general, when you're making a hara, you're giving a psak on something, so you have to understand the svara and then you supply it, you apply the principle. The principle here is just a question mark. Even according to Rambam, you say, oh, olives are more valuable. What happens if it's a very fancy wine? Like, I don't know. You know, it's difficult. Okay, mission is difficult.
So there's an olive press. The whole thing is a very expensive process to press the olive.
Well, it's expensive maybe because it's hard labor. But it's hard labor, so that's, I mean, the press would presumably belong to the landowner, who would have it on his field, in his orchard. Maybe it's hard work to press it, but ironically, the Tosafot Yom Tov like says that olives are easy to pick, so therefore a person wouldn't hire a person just to pick the olives; they'd hire them. You know what? Okay. Yeah. Sometimes you have to. Not everything is easy, right?
Why you make a big thing of this?
Okay. Fine. Good. Exactly. Mishnah Vav. Nothing to worry about. Here we go. Mishnah Vav. So we mentioned about selling olives in the previous Mishnah with the Sechar, so now we take a bit of a segue and we talk about, selling olives, nothing to do with Demai at all, presents its own special problem of Tumah. Okay, now, just review a bit of halachas of Tumah here. First of all, remember when it comes to fruit, we said yesterday, a fruit isn't Makabel Tumah until it's mukhshir lekabel tumah, until it gets ready to lekabel tumah. How does that happen? You have to first wet the fruit, and you wet it with one of those seven liquids that transfer or ready for the transfer of tumah. Remember that yad shachat dam, yain, dam, shemen, chalav, tal, dew, dvash. I said dam before. Dvash and no, dvash. And mime, water, those things.
Shemen
is one of them, that's right. So exactly, so the shemen is oil. Here's olive oil. So when you pick olives, so some oil can come out of them, okay? Now, notwithstanding, and one of the things that are required for to be hoch machshir l'kabel tumah is it has to be l'ratzon, you have to do things on purpose. It can't be accidental. So if oil happens to drip out of the olive, it's also just accidental. until you're getting to the place where you are planning on squeezing the olives. Okay? So there's, in the olive making process, there's a thing you put them in called the ma'aten, which is like a soaking thing that makes them soft and ready to be squeezed effectively. Okay? So our Mishnah here is talking about a case where you pick the olives, but you haven't yet put them in this ma'aten, so now whatever oil comes out of them isn't machshir them to be kavutum yet. Okay? But inevitably, as things go down the way, as you process them towards getting oil out of it, so that will, in the process, they'll be mukhsha l'kavul tumah. And if you recall back, if you want to be a chaver, you can't do. You can't do transactions with things that are going to be mukhavul tumah. Okay, fine. That's right. I paused because Yeah. Okay. So since the chaver, I'll just speak it out a little more. A chaver is not allowed to sell something that's allowed to be mekabel tuma. Remember, he won't. We'll see in the Mishnahs later. If you, I'll remind you, he can't sell something to an ama arts that's even yavesh. Lach meaning he already is mukhshar to mekabel tuma, or even yavesh, something not yet ready to be mekabel tuma, because the chaver knows sooner or later it will become tame. Now, and so what? What if it becomes tame? So it could be that Beishama anyways, which is what we're going to see in a second, he forbids Paras from Eretz Yisrael to become Tame. That's the issue. Beishama says you're not allowed to let Paras from Eretz Yisrael become Tame. Because normally, a Chulin becoming Tame, what's the big deal already? So what? So what if it became Tame? So what? You can eat it. You're not
Can a Kohen eat it?
No, I guess a Kohen, even a Kohen could eat it. Even a Kohen could eat it. If he's Tame, it's not prohibited to him.
Can you take truma from something that's
No, you can't. You can't take truma from something that's tame, and that is a potential issue here. But more than next Mishnah. But you, once something became tame, the truma was ruined from it. Okay, okay. So, yeah, fine, good. So here's the case here. Veshame omrim lo yimkor adam es zeisav el lachaver. You're not allowed to sell your olives to someone unless he's a chaver. So the pashtas were going in that even though everyone agrees the olives are not susceptible to tumah now because they haven't yet been processed, but sooner or later you know what's going to happen, they're going to become processed, and then when they do, they're going to become susceptible to tumah, and if the guy's in a chaver, they'll for sure become tameh. And we're going in the world of Beis Shammai, the pashtas is that he doesn't allow fruit from Eretz Yisrael to become tameh. That's not allowed to be done. Even though you'd be able to eat it if you're a Yisrael, or if you're a Kohen, even if you're Tame already, whatever it is, and you're not keeping that. But okay, so he has no problem. Obesil Omrim Aflamaser. He says you can even sell your olives that have not been squeezed yet to someone Lamaser, what we call Neman, someone who does Maser properly. Okay. So the issue here, which is hard to see in the words, is Beis Hillel say, sometimes, people eat olives before pressing them. And since people sometimes do it, it's not necessarily the case that these olives will end up getting pressed, therefore it's not necessarily the case that they'll become Hukshul Kavatumba, it's not necessarily the case that they'll become Tameh. So, you're not allowed...
In actual fact, before you can eat an olive, you have to treat it.
Yeah, but okay, but the pickling process isn't... Machsher it to necessarily Brian. I don't know if it is machsher
kavul tumah.
I don't know about Brian. Let's even say this. I don't know. Maybe I don't know. Either you can process it without it being machsher kavul tumah, or he's assuming people can eat it without processing at all. I don't know. Either one sounds far fetched, but the Mefarshim even acknowledged that. The hills.
Brian is water and salt.
I know, but I'm not sure if maybe it's vinegar. Use chometz instead, vinegar. What if you use rice vinegar? I don't know. I don't know that the mafarshim are either what it is. Like everyone's pushed this. Everyone's conceding that whatever Beis Hillel's case is, maybe they're eating it raw. Like the whole thing's a dachuk anyways. Like it's Beis Hillel basically wanted to find a loophole.
The Shammai says he doesn't allow food in Eretz Yisrael to become tameh. this is allowed. I mean, it doesn't become
tuma. No, it could. It is makabel tuma. You're not allowed to let it become tuma. He forbids people to be matama paris eretz Israel. He forbids people to transmit tuma to through the Gerun Israel. If you do, then it will work. But you're not allowed to lachachila.
It is tuma.
It's tuma. Like. I mean, analogous to truma. Truma, yeah. You can't. You're not allowed to make a tuma. Of course, that's with tuma.
And if you make a tuma, it has to be destroyed.
No. Well, truma, yes, but yeah. This not. The regular food for Israel, no. It's just edible, but it's not allowed to be done. So, Beis Hillel want to find a loophole because they don't want to make, I guess, destroy the olive industry or whatever it is. They want to make these end people. So they say, as long as the person will do proper afreshes, then you can rely on them. You can sell to them and not have to worry about the fact that they'll. Come to make a tummy. Also, Beis Hillel is very probably, very possibly not concerned about Paris Aerosol becoming tummy anyways. So that could be a factor. Okay, that could be a factor in. That difficult mission I asked. I thought
you could destroy Shemen that's tummy by burning.
It's not a problem destroying it. Meshamay are saying it's a iser to make a rabbinic iser to be matama peres eretz Yisrael. So therefore, it'll work, and if it works, the tumah will transfer, and then you'll have tamei food, and you can still eat it. But the point is, you're not allowed to do it. V'charchila. So he's saying, don't sell this produce, which is like just the accident waiting to happen, because then that prohibition will happen. But still, aren't worried about that. Yeah. Okay. Fine. And that sounds reasonable, right? But then utsnuei beis hillel hayu nohagin kedivrei beis shammai. Like literally tsnuei means like the sneest ones, but it means like medakim b'mitzvahs. You know, the people who like are take. You know, they're very precise in their mitzvah observance. They would accustom themselves like beis shammai and not sell their olives to someone who's not a chaver.